Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, before we get started today, I want to remind you to head over to the IndieBusinessNetwork.com social networking site where you can connect with small and independent business owners from across the nation who can help you with answers to questions that you have about making your business a success. And you can also offer your own tips and insights to help other people be successful as well. Well, today our show is all about the business of inventing. And to help us sort through all the issues associated with that, I have scheduled Jim DeBetta. He is the author of The Business of Inventing, Your Practical Guide. It's a book about how to get your invention into America's thriving marketplace. Let me tell you a little bit about Jim. James DeBetta is a nationally recognized authority in the world of inventing and retail sales and marketing. Founder of DeBetta Enterprises, he has coached many investors and inventors and has successfully sold millions of dollars of products to the world's leading retailers. Jim has appeared in the pages of Business Week, Newsday, Inventor's Digest, and is a sought-after speaker at the international conferences and universities that have to do with business and also the business of inventing. Now, if you're tuned in, you may just be able to detect that I am sort of stretching things out a little bit here on the front end before I welcome Jim, because for some reason he has not showed up in my queue yet. So I tell you what, if you can just open up your computer and make sure that you here he is right now. All right, let's see.
Hey,
Jim,
welcome
to Indie Business Radio.
Hey, I'm excited to be here.
Yes, Jim, welcome to Indie Business Podcast. Well, listen, we are all ready to get your tips and information about how we can take a basic idea that we have for a new product and deliver it to the world. Now, before we get started, Jim, I want to tell you something. My son, he's 7 years old, he plays on a little basketball league for kids his age. And the other day, my husband told me that when he took him to practice this past week, instead of going to the gym and seeing different sets of basketball hoops available for them to play with, one set being taller than the other so taller players could play and younger players could play, instead of having those, in this particular gym, all of them were the same size, the standard regulation size for adults, but they had these inserts on poles that they brought out and inserted into the pole of the larger, the taller basketball apparatus, and it had a separate net so that they could have a lower net for the younger kids without having to have actual separate apparatus for each one. And I thought to myself, and I told my husband, I was like, you know what, that is such an obvious thing. Wouldn't it be great if everyone could have an idea like that, that someone could use in a particular market, and it could be that amazing? Have you ever seen anything like that?
Not like that, but, you know, Donna, it never surprises me that people have come up with ideas on a regular basis. Kids, adults, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, people always have ideas for something. So it's the people that put them into action are the people that get that opportunity.
Yeah, you know, and here we are driving down the street going, you know, we've been playing basketball all our lives and we've always needed the lower net. How come? It's like such an obvious idea. But I guess that's the point, is that when we have the most obvious idea, you just never know whether it might be something that you could actually turn into an income stream for you as a small business owner. So, Jim, let's dive right in and talk about inventing basics. You know, is it me or is American inventing becoming more popular? Because I hear so many more news stories today than it seems like I heard in years past about people inventing. And at the same time, everybody's talking about how America's losing its innovative edge and everything. And I'm not really seeing much evidence of that, especially with shows like Shark Tank that you participate in on a regular basis. What are you seeing in the inventing industry today?
Well, it's getting much, much bigger. And with the internet, Donna, there's so much more of an awareness of it. You've got Shark Tank, you've got Moms, Inc., which is the new Kelly Ripa show, which is on TLC, which is about moms who invent products and they pitch them to Home Shopping Network. You've got, the American Inventor, that's not on TV anymore, but There are so many. Oh, yeah, Pitchman, the old Billy Mays show, which his partner Sully continues to carry on. There's huge momentum, especially for women inventors, which I've seen over the years as a huge opportunity for women to get into the business, whereas they weren't necessarily in the past. But it's everywhere. No matter what when I tell people what I do, Donna, for a living, they say, you know, I have an idea for something. It's hot. It's growing, and it's getting more awareness due to the internet and other places where people can get access to information about it.
What do you think it is, Jim, that's making it so much more appealing or possible, I guess, for women, especially in the inventing field?
Well, I think that inventing was always a guy's thing. And you think of the Thomas Edisons of the world, the gray-haired scientist, you know, in a lab or in his basement working on things. But I think today, and it just follows the path of women entrepreneurship, where women are just coming out of the woodwork and realizing that, hey, you know, we're no different than guys in terms of being smart in business and creating businesses and very successful businesses. So you hear people saying America's losing its edge technologically, but look, Donna, you and I are both advocates of small business, and that's where a lot of these bigger businesses ultimately come from, the everyday people that just come up with great ideas for a product and learn how to develop them. So I don't see that. You know, maybe we're losing our edge on the Fortune 100 type technology companies. I don't know. I'm not an expert there. But I can tell you there is tremendous interest and tremendous growth in this area of inventing. And because people see the opportunity, like you said, they can build a business once they learn how to do it and potentially make some income from it. And in this world where corporations are laying people off left and right, hey, why not take your shot?
Yes, I agree. It's so important that we all do that. And you know, today is Martin Luther King Day, and of course we're all celebrating his legacy. I was listening to one of his speeches this morning, and he said, you know, of course, you know, there was the quote-unquote Emancipation Proclamation, but we all have to emancipate ourselves. And we do that by learning, listening to shows like this, and reading books like yours. And, you know, I love, you know, all your book, but I love the parts in your book where you actually have photographs of these inventors who have created these fantastic stories. You have pictures of them and their products, and a little bit of information about how they got started. So there's no shortage of information there. But, Jim, let's talk about, you know, one of the biggest issues I know all inventors and business owners in general face is lack of funds, largely due with respect to inventing associated with patenting the invention. Can you tell us what a patent is and whether we absolutely have to have one in order to bring an innovation to market?
Absolutely, Donna. And just for the record, I'm not a patent attorney, so nothing I say here is legal advice. It's just my experiences working in this business for nearly 20 years. But a patent is really intellectual property. So in layman's terms here, you come up with an idea, Donna, for a new widget, and you want to protect it so that nobody else can copy that idea exactly as you have it. So you go to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and you can access their website, which is USPTO.gov or .org. You think I would know it. I have it bookmarked. I don't even know, but it's one of the two. But you just put in USPTO and Google, you'll find it. And you can go there and search for your type of invention idea and see if somebody else has already come up with the idea via filing a patent for it. And if you can determine that they have not done that, then you can go ahead and, through a patent agent or patent attorney, is how I recommend you do it, you can file for a patent to protect that idea so that when you go ahead and make that product, you have far less concerns about somebody coming along and taking that idea or, as people would say, stealing the idea from you. So it's protecting your intellectual property, the idea that it was in your head that is now potentially a live product.
So, Jim, you can file for your patent before you've even produced as much as a prototype of your product, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people go ahead and file patents with sketches or more sophisticated drawings. And, of course, the more information you provide, the better your chances are of obtaining that patent. But, you know, Donna, you also talked about money here. And, you know, money and patents and all these things go hand in hand, because what a lot of people don't do, and this is what's in my book that I think is really key, is that they don't understand the exact steps. Hey, Jim, I got an idea. What do I do first? What do I do second? Well, a lot of people go out and they just start filing patents, Donna, and that's expensive. I mean, to file a patent, depending on the patent type, It certainly could be many thousands of dollars to do that, when in fact, I never filed a patent, and this might be a surprise to some people, ever. In all the years I've done business, all the tens of millions of dollars, probably over $100 million, I have been responsible for selling over the past 15 to 20 years, I've never filed one, because you don't need a patent to go to market. The key is you just don't want to infringe on somebody else's. In other words, if I copy your idea, Donna, without having ever checked, you know, you could come after me legally and say, hey, Jim, that's my idea. You stole it. Then we're in a legal fight. But you don't need a patent to go to market unless you want to license your product. That's a whole other bigger discussion. But when you want to have another company take your idea and have them manufacture it and sell it for you, so you get a tool and you go to Black & Decker and you want them to do all the work, if you want to go to Black & Decker, you need a patent or a strong patent pending, because otherwise you have no leverage to get a deal done with Black & Decker. You come to them with your patented idea, hey, they may be interested, and now they take on the idea and can provide a royalty stream to you if the product sells successfully.
Right. So let's kind of break this down then. If you have an idea for a new product, you can just create it, make it yourself, or hire somebody else to make it for you, and you can bring it to market with or without a patent. But if you want to protect the idea so that another inventor can't come along and start making it without compensating you as the originator of the idea, and I'm speaking in great general terms here, you can go to the patent office and file your application for a patent before you've ever even made your product or brought it to market. And that way you have the time that you need to work on perfecting that product. And if someone else comes up with the idea and starts marketing it after you, if your patent is correctly filed and all those T's are crossed and I's are dotted, then you have the ability through the patent law to hire somebody to help you, for lack of a better word, stop the other person from manufacturing that product if it infringes on your patent.
That looks pretty good to me, Donna. Sounds like you got a good handle on it. And
again,
you're right.
I'm just trying to generalize it for people so they can see that you don't have to have a patent to bring your idea to market, but if you want to protect it so that you can make the most money off of it, it's a good idea to file it so you have the ability through the patent laws of this country to protect your income stream from that idea.
Right, and again, you're right. It's speaking in generalities, it can get very hairy. There's a lot of details along the way, but yes, in general, what you're saying right back to me is the way it is, which is, yes, you have the opportunity in this country and worldwide to protect the ideas that you come up with and create. So it can be important for some people.
So let's talk about money. Whether you go the patent route early on or later, or whether you don't go that route at all, you need money to start a business. And Jim, would you say it's fair to say that for most people – manufacturing, you know, sort of a product that you need more because you have to buy the supplies and you have to have a certain level of manufacturing expertise, either yours or someone else's. Share with us some of the ideas covered in your book about funding because, you know, this is just a huge issue for anyone trying to start a business, even if all you have to buy is a good computer.
That's right, and it doesn't matter if you're inventing a product or you're starting any business. You're right, money is always a critical topic of discussion. And Donna, look, I mean, there's certain obvious ways you can go about doing it, and some of which aren't feasible for some people. If you have some money of your own to spend, I don't ever encourage people to necessarily take a second mortgage out on their home, especially in my business, which is a pretty high-risk business, or to max out all of your credit cards. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to be risk-averse. You can find ways to come up with money. But doing the very basics for getting an invention doesn't necessarily require a lot. I mean, if you learn the steps, and you know, people email me and I email them the steps, the proper steps to inventing, yes, it's great if you can hire people like me to do a lot of the work for you. And if you can afford that, it winds up being more beneficial for you. But if you cannot afford an expert to help you, for example, you can do a patent search on your own. Some people hire a patent agent or attorney to do it. But you can go to that USPTO website, mm-hmm. And as long as you understand what you're searching for and learn about how to search, you could save yourself some money right there. So that's a free thing you can do. Coming up with an idea and getting somebody to sketch out your idea, to kind of bring it to life more, yes, you can hire a product designer and get some quotes. could you do it on your own if you're really savvy with software and you learn how to use a lot of the available software programs online to kind of flush out your ideas? Sure, you can do that. Maybe you're going to spend some money on some software.
Mm-hmm.
But when people say to me, Jim, where do I get the money? How do I come up with money to do all these things? Look, Donnie, you know as well as I do, friends and family doesn't always necessarily mean friends and family. You hear this saying about raising money from friends and family. But friends and family means your sphere of influence. Anybody that knows you, that knows somebody, that knows this person, that knows that person, that is willing to help you and take a chance on you. And
mm-hmm.
if you read about just about any multimillionaire or really preferably any billionaire in this country, almost everyone will tell you that they started out their first dollars from friends and family. They didn't,
right.
didn't have the ability to go to a bank because you have nothing. Right now you have an idea in your head. What are you going to go to the bank with? Say, I've got this great idea. I'm going to solve the world's problems. I need $100,000. The bank's going to say, no, that's not how it works. You know, we need to leverage some assets, or you have to put up something to get money from us. But most inventors, and I don't encourage them to necessarily do that, but, you know, to go to people you know, the people that love you, that trust you, and would invest in you, not necessarily your product idea, is pretty critical. And yes, if you could put some money aside every month, you always hear this old saying, pay yourself first. Well, you know what? If you could put away, $50 a month or $150 a month or whatever it is, and you have an idea, you know what? The months go by, Don, and all of a sudden you can have $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000 put aside or whatever it is to start pursuing your dream of bringing a product to market. And
mm-hmm.
and that's how you get going. I mean, going to banks with an invention idea is very difficult. Now, if you get down the road, again, another discussion, but if you got an actual purchase order from a big retailer, then banks are more willing to fund that, the manufacturing piece, to get
mm-hmm.
your product made so you can sell it, because now you've got something there for them. But it's all the basics, Donnie. And yes, there are grants, and there are a lot of contests, and there's definitely lots of promotions online, for inventors, and you have to go to your state, and even some, your local municipality sometimes have contests and grants and all kinds of things to help people innovate. You know, I'm not an expert in all those arenas, but they do exist. But you got to look at yourself first,
right?
And then you start kind of building your business,
right? And certainly, even with money, we've seen lots of people fail with lots of money because they don't have a plan and they don't know what it is they're trying to accomplish. So I love the way you're reminding us that it really does start with us. And certainly your favorite search engine can be your best friend, because if you're looking for inventing business plan competitions or inventors competitions, all you need to do is go onto your search engine and look them up, and no shortage of them will appear for you. And so that is an option. And I do have some friends that have won business plan competitions and won several thousand dollars, no strings attached, sometimes multiple thousands of dollars for that. So that's always an option as well. And Jim, sometimes it just kind of boils down, does it not, to how hungry you are.
I agree. You have to be hungry. But, and Donna, you said it best. You've got to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing that I see, and it's really upsetting, is that a majority of people that contact me come to me when they're already way deep in trouble. In other words, they've gone out, had an idea, loved it, thought it was the greatest thing in the world, didn't look at it from a business perspective, found
mm-hmm.
a factory out somewhere, ordered $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 worth of stuff, had it sent to their house, it's in their basement, they call me up and say, Jim, I can't sell this stuff, I got a problem. Well, did you do this? No, I didn't do that. Did you do that? No, I didn't really think that was necessary. Look, if you were able to find that kind of money to make that kind of mistake, you probably could have spent half the amount of money learning how to do it right and upping your chances of ultimately selling your product. That's the thing. People have to be hungry, but they've got to be educated on the process. Like, I see people going out and shopping for TVs and cell phones, and they spend a week going to stores, going online to spend $500, but, to go out and bring a product to market, they'll risk everything without checking with one person or one credible source to get information on the process. And I understand that the lure of having your product being sold in a big chain and making big money can cause you to have a cloudy mind and skip a lot of the basic steps because you're in a hurry, because you're anxious, but that's dangerous, really,
right.
financially.
Right. That definitely points out the importance of educating yourself, because you can, as you just told the story, we see stories like that We can read about them in magazines and newspapers and on the internet. So we are warned. There's no shortage of the information that we need out there. It's just how are you going to use that information to empower yourself? So we all need to be aware, again, of our responsibility in this process, because all of this is avoidable if we just do our research in advance. And, you know, Jim, another thing that your book covers is packaging, and you have some great information here that you got from your friend Joanne Hines, the packaging diva. She talks about, you know, how you could have a great idea and it could be absolutely fabulous, but if it's not packaged properly, it's not going to appeal to those retail stores that might want to carry it. Can you talk to us a little bit about the importance of packaging and what you learned from her?
Packaging is how I built my first business, and Joanne Hines is amazing. I mean, she's called the packaging diva for a reason. She understands the critical nature of why people get attracted to a product. I mean, Donna, we all buy packaging, right? You walk into a store. I bring my kids into the cereal aisle at the supermarket, and of course they put the sugar cereals really low so the kids can get at them, right? The Cocoa Puffs, the Trix, the Cookie Crisp, all those cereals, but they're packaged in such a way to attract a specific audience. So when you go into a store, and look at Apple, Donna, right? I mean, they've got a lock-on look. I mean, you see something in that with that Apple logo and that kind of those stock colors, you know, they're black, they're white, they're silver, the way they brand themselves. Whenever you see something in their box, you want it,
yeah.
You know? And yeah, their products are great, but we buy packaging. That's the first line of defense. That's what we see. We walk in a store and we get attracted to a box and we walk over to it and we pick it up, and you know what? Half the sale is made for that company. Now, if you're attracted to it, as long as the price is right and you either have a need or a want for that product and it feels good, you're going to bring it to the register. So for me, when I was in the binocular business, there were dozens of companies making binoculars. So how are we going to stand out? Instead of us doing the old plastic packaging that you see where a binocular is hung up on a peg in a store, we made packages in the shapes of pyramids, of tubes, of rectangles. We even took a watch box and put a binocular in it and sold it in department stores. People are saying, wow, that's really smart. And I'm thinking, how did nobody else think of this before? But we out-packaged our competition. And because we did, we built a multi-million-dollar business and got a reputation for being really unique. And that's what every inventor has to think about. Packaging ultimately becomes a really, really critical part of the process. And if you don't do that right, you can have a great product inside the box, but if someone doesn't pick up the box, you know, you're not going to make the sale.
Right, right. Excellent points, you know, and a lot of times as small business owners, we kind of want to rely on the strength of our product and sort of think, oh, you know, well, my product's so good, so I'm going to put all my resources into that so I can deliver the best actual product to my customer, not knowing that customers oftentimes consider the best possible product as the one that's got the best possible package.
Yeah, it's a tricky business. Think of the Tiffany blue box. I say it all the time.
Yeah.
Whatever's in that box looks expensive. It looks like somebody really loves your life. But that blue box, you know, it's become an iconic statement for luxury goods. So, yeah, you're right. Packaging is a big thing.
And consider how much more we pay, or other people who buy Tiffany, who pay for how much extra we pay for that box. And actually, you know, as a little side note, that color is actually a trademark. So I think it's really interesting, you know, the investment that they've made in their packaging, even though it has nothing to do with the jewel that's inside the package. So that's a really good point. So, Jim, in our last few minutes here, let's talk for a little bit about getting to market. Okay, so we've got this product, we've managed to get it manufactured, or we have a plan to get it manufactured. You know, now we want to get it to market. You know, we can get on the Shark Tank show, I guess, right? We can apply for that. But if we don't want to go that route, do we have to do trade shows? Can we just have a video website where we have videos about our product? What do you recommend we consider in terms of options?
Well, those are good starters, Donna. I think there is no magic bullet. You have to do a lot of everything. And look, social media is key today. It just 5 years ago, it really wasn't a big deal. Today, if you've got a product, you need to be on Facebook, Twitter, potentially LinkedIn. If you've got videos to show, YouTube. And there are plenty of other sites where you can gain a lot of traction and a lot of attention by marketing yourself correctly on those sites. It's no different, Donna, than what you and I do for our businesses. I mean, your indie beauty site, you know I'm there. I have a retail group. I learn as much as I give to that site in terms of posting articles and information. I get back because I'm always clicking around reading all this other information. And I've actually bought products from going to people's sites like yours where I go, wow, that's really cool. And just because I'm looking, now I'm attracted to something and I'm buying it, whether it's for myself, my wife, my kids or something. So that's step one. You've got to be in the social media scene. Number two, trade shows are still a great way to get your product shown. If you want a retailer, you want a whole bunch of retailers to show up at one place at one time instead of you going to try to visit all of them and spending money on flights and hotels and everything else. You set up a booth at a trade show that's relevant to your product. And look, you hope they all walk in, and if you do a good job at the show and you're outgoing and you're talking to people, look, all it takes is one big retail buyer, or even a small retail buyer that will set your business off in a great way. Of course, then you've got your own website that people can have. If you have widget.com and search engine marketing, again, greater discussion points here, but there's lots of ways to do that. And of course, you can learn how to call on retail buyers. I teach people how to do that. But it's not hard. You just gotta know how to handle the objections and get past certain things, and you can call on the Targets and the Walmarts of the world. It's not an easy task, but
right. I love that your book, Jim, contains some sample letters. You've got sample contracts in here that people can use. Again, I know you're not an attorney, but like you said, there's certainly some examples of things that people can use in here in conjunction with the attorney advice that they get. And so, Jim, we're closing out here. I want to take just 60 seconds or so to cover the topic of royalties. What are they, and how can we sort of think about that as a potential long-term part of this for our invention?
Okay, and royalties are really associated with the word licensing. So, again, Donna, back to our example. You've got a widget. You've got this new tool, and you say, Jim, I don't want to build a whole business myself. I'd rather just somebody else do it. Well, you can approach Black & Decker or any other company that sells similar products. You go to them with your patented or patent-pending product. They love it. They say, you know what, Donna, we're going to take it from here. They're going to manufacture it for you. They're going to market it, sell it, brand it. They're going to do everything. You go home. You sit home. And what they're going to do is, as they sell the product, once it's developed in retail shelf, you'll get what's called a royalty, which is a percentage of the net sale. And royalties usually land at around 5%. So if they sell $100,000 worth of your product in a particular quarter, and that's the net dollars they receive from the sales, well, you get 5% of that. Not a bad gig if the product works well and it sells well.
Right. And such a fantastic story in your book from a couple people who've actually done that and have, 10 or 20 inventions out there. So they've done this multiple times over and over again, so they have like 5% times 20 every year, which is nice. And I love, your book for not just the practical tips, but those stories, man, which, you can settle in for the night with your cup of tea and read some of those stories and just get some positive inspiration as you get ready to go to bed and start your next day. I think that's one of the most valuable things about some of the best books out there today is that they have those sorts of inspirational stories in them. So we thank you for that. Jim, we're about to close out here. Tell us where to go to get more of Jim DeBetta and the business of inventing online.
Well, I've created one nice place, Donna, and that is www.jimdebetta.com. So JimDeBetta.com. They can get access to my book, which is available at Amazon.com. Right now, I'm unleashing a whole bunch of new coaching programs for inventors who are looking to get their idea to market. I have some great coaching programs there now, but I'm going to be updating them within moments to offer more options for beginners who want to learn. And my site's just got a lot of good information. There's some articles and links to other things on there. And go check it out. It's a good place to explore. And I appreciate your thoughts on my book, Don. I did my best to get a nice, easy read for beginners to learn about the business.
And your book is fantastic. It's Jim DeBetta, author of The Business of Inventing, your practical guide, how to get your invention into America's thriving marketplace. Check it out at jimdebetta.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at jimdebetta. How easy is that to remember? Next week, Megan and Larry Johnson, husband and wife team and co-authors of Generations, Inc., From Boomers to Linksters, The Friction Between Generations at Work. They're going to be joining us to show how to effectively lead and encourage workers from all generations and all walks of life in your business. That's coming up next week right here on the Indie Business Podcast. Until then, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.